Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number to anywhere in the United States of America. Of course. She is the equivalent of seeing the Virgin Mary in the knot of a tree. She's the equivalent of seeing the Virgin Mary in a pancake. She is the equivalent of seeing the Virgin Mary in a raindrop or in a puddle. That's true. And I have to tell you, it's amazing. The mass hysteria is there. Don't get mad at me. I'm doing the best I can under the circumstance. But here is an unknown human being, no one ever heard of her, who is suddenly the savior of the United States of America and the entire Western world. Who would have thunk? Who would have thought that this girl who went to all of these community colleges throughout the Northwest was this savior? I had no idea. And I recognize that the Republican Party apparatus is, in overdrive. And that's okay. That is fine. We, of course, can't understand it, but that's the way it goes. Look, I'm not voting for Obama. Let's be very clear. But don't expect me to just suddenly celebrate this situation here. All right, so she'll run with McCain and I'll vote for them. Are you happy now? Now can we move on? But let's stop already elevating the woman to the Godhead. The people who are really upset over the ascension of this lady from Alaska are the tea crumpets of the Republican Party. The tea crumpets are furious at this Alaska hussy. I mean, to them, she looks like a Gold Rush dance hall girl. I mean, to Peggy Noonan, to Kay Bailey Hutchinson, this is a Gold Rush dancehall girl that all of the old country club Viagra Republicans have thrown their false teeth and crutches away for. In fact, it's been said that the country club Viagra Republicans are throwing away their golf clubs and rushing to buy snowshoes. This, of course, is their last hurrah. And you'll have to pardon me for my sarcasm, but it's the nature of my being. It's the nature of my business. There are other topics, but you're not going to want to talk about them. I mean, if I said to you that Bush, while you were cheering and letting balloons go, gave another $1 billion away, this time to Georgia, mainly to contractors, you'd say, oh, ho, hum. Well, he's a Republican. He's for smaller government in lower taxes. He's not a tax and spend liberal. No, he's a borrow and bankrupt conservative. Yeah. Now, I don't know about you, but I watched it last night. The worst part of it last night for me was Rudolph Giuliani. This guy needed a hook to pull him off the stage. Couldn't he shut up? On and on and on. And the part that I really, let's see, at that time I was on my, I had to take two vodkas before the speeches. Normally I don't drink that much anymore. But I had to gird myself for the RNC speeches because I knew what was coming. I got to tell you, as a little kid, I was intimidated by parades and conventioneers. I don't know why, but parades and conventions always scared me as a child. Well, and circuses, too. Crowds outside circuses, probably because I accidentally touched a midget and I thought it was catching, you know, so I never overcame that. But watching these idiots with balloons for 2 weeks in a row now, both sides of the aisle, for God's sakes. So what is it that you want John McCain to do to get your vote? Or has he done enough already? Just simply by running because Barack is so bad. That seems to be the consensus of the intelligent American electorate. Well, the other guy is so bad, we got to vote for him. Can I ask you, what does John McCain need to say to you to get you to vote for him? Perhaps something on illegal immigration? Perhaps something about his real stand on taxes? Perhaps his real stand on so many issues that we're hearing nothing about? I mean, do we want to hear what his favorite color is? Do we want to hear what John McCain's favorite dish is at Denny's? Would we like to know what his favorite tie color is? Or perhaps you'd like to really get down to what they stand for. Again, don't get mad at me. I'm doing the best I can under these circumstances. But if you will recall, my good friends of the Savage Nation, as near as several months ago, most of you who are now banging the drum loudly for the Gold Rush hussy and the fighter pilot, 3 months ago you were saying you're not going to vote. You think that McCain is a sellout. Now all of a sudden he's your hero. I understand it in a way, because at a certain point you have to get behind someone. I get it. I know how the system works. But don't you have a wee bit memory of what you said and what was being written by some of these same columnists today who are on board as well? 3 months ago, they were saying that, oh, you can't vote for any of them, either of them. Don't give the Republicans a free pass. You know, make them do something or else we're ruined. Don't you remember those lines? And here was last night. There was Rudy Giuliani, who I told you from the beginning wouldn't sell west of the Hudson River. I told you he doesn't play well. It's not just that he has a nasty sneer. It's that he's a big city liberal. Trying to pass himself off last night. Well, we're the party of Ronald Reagan. We believe in smaller government and lower taxes. That's when I spat the beer out. The second beer went flying out of my mouth at that line. I mean, that was a real scream. Smaller government. Okay, George Bush grew the government more so than the last three Democrat administrations, and we've forgotten that already. Caught up in the hysteria and the balloons. What do you need McCain to say tonight for you to finally say, okay, I'll go for him, even though he's... And by the way, no one's perfect. This is the toughest job in the world, number one. Number two, America is too diverse for anyone to satisfy everyone. I recognize that. And I understand I'm the last of the Mohicans, diehard conservative. I get that. I get all of that, so no one's going to satisfy me except me if I ran for office, which I'm not going to do for obvious reasons. I can't raise $50 million in a month. I have no connections to gangsters and Saudi businessmen. You understand who funnel the money in through 4th, 5th, 3rd, 19th parties? You understand how that works? I don't have any connections to Saudi businessmen, and I'm sure they all do. Because I happen to think that this country has been bought by foreign interests, just as George Washington warned us would happen. Just as George Washington warned us would happen. So that's the beginning of the show. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. And as usual, I will now go to my own website and see what I put up, because I don't even know what I actually don't do most of the articles. They're posted through a great group of guys at WorldNet Daily, and They do my site separately, incidentally. They're not at all the same stories. And I send 4 or 5 a day to catch my eye, and we're doing great. In fact, our viewership on MichaelSavage.com is so big that it's bigger than Sean Hannity's website, which, of course, is not a put-down. It's just a fact of Alexa. It's just the way things are working right now, and that's good for you to know. There was a great article that came out that's favorable to me. And it was written by Mr. Durham, isn't that correct? Yeah, Andrew Durham, on his blog. And it is called Nurturing Your Inner Savage, Why Michael Savage's Unpublished Autobiography Has Already Outsold Pelosi's. That's a good story, but of course no one's picking it up. But there's something in here that please, at the risk of your displeasure, folks, at the risk of your displeasure, let me read a piece of this article for you kindly. And let's see. I'm going to read parts of it. Okay. The thing here is that, love him or hate him, Michael Savage has an audience that cares about him as a person. Savage's audience is not there for a Republican versus Democrat message every single day of the week. Then he says, I'm an independent myself, and I don't harbor either ideology. I'm about the person and the message, not the platform. That's why I like Savage, he writes. The stories in this book, Psychological Nudity, many of which I have heard, illustrate a life of hardship, joys, poignancy, and pain. In other words, the life of a man, a human being born into the struggle. Amen. The Buddhist wheel. The Buddhist wheel, the Buddhist wheel, the Buddhist wheel. When does the suffering end? Tired of living, but scared of dying. Remember that song? I heard that as a young kid. Wow. That old man river. He just keeps rolling, roll. He keeps on rolling along. Oh, that was a great song. I first heard it when I was six. In fact, now that the memory chain just got triggered with my pantomime, it was Fat Pat. Fat Pat the Pimp, who I wrote about with taking the children home from the bordello that he ran and raising them as his own. He was the one who was singing Old Man River. He must have been in pain all his life. I remember him leaning back. He looked like, picture the fat guy in The Sopranos. Just, I'm 25-inch bull neck, bandana on his head in the summer, a monster of a man, a kind-hearted, wonderful man that everyone loved on the street in the ghetto. They loved this guy. You know, he was a little shady, but the guy would go to bat for any kid in the neighborhood. Any father could count on him. In fact, I remember now another story. Years later, 30, I don't know when, he was broke because he was an inveterate gambler, sick, degenerate gambler. And he was in trouble, and they beat him up. The mob guys broke his legs or something. No, they didn't break it. They beat him badly. And he came around, I remember, to my father's house asking. He didn't beg. He knocked on the door. There was some kind of whispering that went on in the hallway. And my father gave him at the time $500, which must be $5,000 today, I would guess. And certainly he didn't have a lot of money. But he gave him $500, and he didn't ask him what it was for. That was the kind of world these men, you know, were from. Now, I don't know how I got sidetracked. Michael Savage has lived a rich life. He hasn't lived a life as a rich person. This man has done things and has the credentials to show for it. Pelosi grew up with everything. She wanted for nothing and has given us nothing. Savage fought for everything and has given his listeners the benefit of his experience and wit. When Nancy Pelosi achieved the office of Speaker of the House, she demanded a jet. She lost a jet, and we got the shaft. Michael Savage delivers whether he gets what he wants or not, good mood or bad. This is the part I like the best. Good mood or bad, people tune in to hear the man, not the political snake oil. Absolutely no one in talk radio can say the same thing, no one writes. Andrew T. Durham. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you very much. I had no idea you were a former acupuncturist and clinician, primarily to inner-city adolescents, and that you're an accomplished musician, actor, and playwright, five of which have been produced. I guess artists like Michael Savage. It's those darn check pants Republicans who are fed up with Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Of course, we understand the hysteria. We understand your anger and fear of Obama. He's the evil one incarnate, and the Democrats are going to destroy America. The Republicans are going to save us again, just as George Bush saved America. But, you know, in a way, there's a degree of truth in that when you think about it. Why do I say that? I'll tell you why. Because even on an issue as fundamentally important as the right to bear arms, you know and I know that Pelosi and Obama would like to appoint the head of the ACLU to the Supreme Court, God forbid, and that vote would go 5-4 the other way, and we'd lose our right to bear arms. So, you know, on that alone, I told you that once before, that could be Bush's greatest legacy, is the Supreme Court nominations of Alito and Roberts. You see what I'm saying? So on the main big issues, all right, I mean, there's something to be said for it. Got to understand that. Who's going to stand up to the Islamo-fascisti? Who would stand up to the Islamo-fascisti more? The ex-fighter pilot, the liberal ex-fighter pilot, or the man who put up community activist posters in Chicago on telephone poles? Not even, you know. So I get it. That doesn't mean I'm going to sit here and say that she's the second coming and the equivalent of the Virgin Mary that many of you have seen in the knot of a tree or in a pancake or a raindrop or even in puddles. You know, every year that it rains in Guatemala, we hear that the people come running out of the villages, and they say they've seen the Virgin Mary in a raindrop or in puddles. That's what's going on now at the Republican National Convention. The Virgin Mary in a raindrop. That's a good title. Steal it. Run with it. Steal this idea. I'm not Abby Hoffman, but all right, he had a point. Boston Eddie, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
All right, Mike, I agree with you 99% of the time, but I think you might be wrong here. I mean, come on, join in for the victory. She's a breath of fresh air. Let's just go for it. What else are we going to do? You know what I'm saying? I mean,
Didn't you hear what I just said? I said I understand the difference. That doesn't mean I have to turn her into the second coming, do I?
You know, join in for the big victory. Don't you?
Well, you didn't hear me again. You're just talking as though you're reading a script that someone sent you. Does that mean I have to worship Sarah Palin as the equivalent of the second coming?
You don't. But let's jump in for the
win. Well,
winner.
Thank you. So thank you. Stop with the mass hysteria. I don't like hysterical crowds. Say, all right, fine. They chose her. I'll live with it. But let's not turn her already into the greatest salvation for, in the history of the Republic. Can't we have some sobriety here?
I'm going to do it.
Thank you. I'm getting all of the people with the reading scripts now. New York, WOR. Chris, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. You know, Mike, I listened to you for a long time. And, you know, I noticed something about you. I have to admire you in my own way. And I really mean it because you're your own man. When I heard you saying about George Bush, I nearly dropped the phone. I mean, you're a conservative, but you know what? You don't kiss up to nobody. Only thing I would say is if you was a little more knowledgeable, wasn't so rough on the African Americans about certain things. Ain't that much softer than them. You feel what you want to feel about them, but
I hear you. Well, all right, I hear you. And again, this is a racial differential that is hard for people to agree on. From their background, I can see if you're an African American, you'd look up to them. You'd say, all right, you know what? Despite what they did when they were young, in a way, they still speak for me. All right, I hear that. But he doesn't speak, you know, they don't speak for me. And more so for Sharpton than Jackson, to be honest with you. Although Jackson has profited greatly from the civil rights activities that he has been involved in, and so has Sharpton, I would say that Jackson has done less damage than Sharpton has done. And he's done so in a less malicious way. But that's an irrelevant point. And even if you're a Democrat, what you listen, and you probably are, Chris, and you're probably going to vote for Obama, I frankly appreciate you calling me and saying you respect my positions because they're not truly just lockstep Republican saluting. I think that's what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And that's good.
You know what? Chris, that at the end of the day, that's all a man wants to hear from another man. Do you know that?
Well, I appreciate that. And thank you for taking
Well, what do you want to hear from another man? Putting aside everything else in life, don't you want the other man's respect? Isn't that what you really want?
I was raised to respect other people as a Christian. I don't normally go along with everything, but I respect their position. I'm not what you might call a fanatic. All right?
I'm going to tell you what. I want you to stay on the line. I'm going to send you a free copy of my autobiography, Psychological Nudity, when it comes out. Would you stay on the line and give the guy? I think you're going to love it. Because it's really about me and it's about my background rather than about politics.
Savage.
Stay on the line.
For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say the thing.
Turn it off. It stinks. I don't like that version. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. It's early in the day. John's going to speak tonight. I got a migraine in advance. I'm not listening tonight. I've heard him speak. Now, of course, she drew almost $40 million. I had to watch that. It was a good speech. Fine, great. Imagine her as commander-in-chief. Oh, boy. You know, I was in an Indian restaurant for lunch today, so I was over here. Normally, they don't talk politics, most people. It's like lemmings. Traditionally, people get excited about the election after Labor Day, so everyone's excited about the election after Labor Day. That's what's going on right now. So I'm in an Indian restaurant here in San Francisco, a buffet where the chicken is cold and the bread is equally cold. And that's okay. You expect that in a buffet. And now they have to microwave it. So I'm sitting there quietly in the bar area to be alone, and I hear two guys talking, and they're like, I don't know, 38-year-old San Francisco guys, average guys. Nice guys, and they're talking over the election. One was for Obama, one was for McCain, and I had to listen in. And they weren't angry at each other. And it was very civil, a discourse. One said that, I'm going to vote for McCain because he's a war guy, and he's very firm in his positions, and I feel comfortable with him. Then the other one says, you got to give Obama a chance for this reason and that. And the other one said, I can't take a chance on an unknown at this time in American history. And they went back and forth. Then the one said, what about the Second Amendment? He said, that's very important to me. He said, why do you need a gun? He said, what do you need a gun for? He said, to protect myself against, criminals and gangbangers who are roving freely here in San Francisco. And the guy said, I can see your point. I listened to this very carefully. Then another table of diners came in, and one of them was a kind of heavyset, looks like ex-trade unionist type that I've run into all my life in New York. fat and well-fed, probably an inheritance case, never worked a day in his life, but he was for Obama and he was preaching revolution. Seems to me so many people with inheritances preach revolution. They're in good company because Karl Marx, of course, was a wealthy boy, an inheritance case, who became a lawyer, by the way. Many of you don't even know it, that Fidel Castro himself was a wealthy boy who was an inheritance case, who was a lawyer. Did you know Castro was a lawyer? Watch out for these inheritance cases who are lawyers. Troublemakers all. Did you know that Castro went to a Catholic school in the Bronx? I don't think you know this. I ran into someone who knows this for a fact. A lot of things you don't know. What's liable to come out next is now that we trace Palin's background, that she was in Hawaii at some little college at the same time Obama was at, you know, Punahou. What if they dated? Oh, my God. What if that comes out? What if that's be a shock that they found out they dated in college? That would be a killer. You know what a winning ticket would be? Obama and Palin. Forget it. That's it. That's an over-the-top ticket. I'm sorry. Play the Bollywood music. I'm having a good time. You'll have to forgive me, but that's all. Oh, guys, you didn't have to do this to please me. I get transported with this music. I love it. I can't help thinking of the days in Fiji, the South Seas private guest house, and in Somerset form like rainstorm, waiting to go out on a plant collecting trip, watching the white ship slip into Suva Harbor, the smell of copra burning in the dryers, eating the goat curry in the Indian takeout places. Yeah, those were the days, my friends. Those were the days. Here we are, chained to a microphone. Chained to a microphone, the former free spirit, 15 years at the wheel. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. The Buddhists have it right at a certain point. The wheel, the concept of the wheel of suffering. So no matter how you think you're getting out of it, you realize you didn't. You stepped into it deeper. Welcome back. I'm sorry I was drifting off. Was I on the air during that? Of course. Of course I was on the air. I'm expressing to you my feelings. I see the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is that the founding fathers were such geniuses that I don't even think the worst president could destroy the country. I mean, as evidenced by some recent history that we've had here, it's not as good as it was, not as good as it could be, but it hasn't been destroyed. What a beautiful nation this is. We're all free. We have total freedom in this country. That, to me, is the ultimate answer to it all, that the system is working. But I'll go to the callers now. That's all. 1-800-449. Look, I believe in compromise. I'm a pragmatist at the end of the day. If I said to John McCain, John, look, I know you're going to grant amnesty to the illegal aliens, but if you thought this through, if you grant amnesty to 30 million people and they suddenly are citizens and they could bring in five relatives, don't you get it? There'll be 150 million people from another country here in 5 years, and that's the end of America as you know it. I don't think these people think these things through, frankly. So can he split the difference and say, well, I won't grant a blanket amnesty. I'll only grant amnesty to certain workers who are critical. And I'll ban anchor babies. I say, okay, then you got my vote. That's all he has to say. Why won't he meet us halfway? Why? Tell me why he can't meet us halfway. New York City, WOR. John, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I was appalled by last night. Words cannot express how appalled I was. And I'm trying to find any reason on the planet to pull the lever for McCain. First of all, Rudy Giuliani made me sick.
Me too. I swear to you, he was nauseating. This guy was a narcissist, wouldn't stop, in love with himself, self-satisfied, and boring.
First, you know, it's bad enough I have to listen to, excuse me, this bird brain nitwit, you know, as the featured speaker talking about, you know, how wonderful her husband is at bobsledding or whatever the heck he does.
I heard that, too. I said, oh, my God, that he's a champion. He's a champion sledder. What a qualification that is.
But here's what happened, you know, on both sides of her. Giuliani at the end with that, and how dare they say they wouldn't ask that of a man. I was waiting for him to parade Gloria Steinem out 5 minutes later to help his cause. This, I understand now.
How many times did Giuliani mention 9/11?
When you talk about political cross-dressing, I now understand exactly what you mean, because that was...
You see, I hit the nail on the head with that, and I'll get no credit for it. Michael Savage reveals political cross-dressing.
And this other thing, this crap about only people who pull themselves up by their bootstraps can talk about things that affect the common people. The best speech of last night by far, was Mitt Romney. Want to know why? He was actually talking about the economy and what's wrong with the economy and what could we do to fix it. He was talking.
See, I have the reverse view of politics. Even since I've been a young man, even when I was struggling and poor, I used to like rich men running for office. And people would say, what, are you crazy? Why? I said, because a poor guy is probably going to be more corrupt and not understanding of the economy as well as a rich guy who understands money.
This is where
I see it. To me, I'd rather have a rich guy running the economy than some schlepper who worked his way up who doesn't know how to balance his own checkbook.
I can't stand Obama. I wouldn't give Obama my vote if my life depended on it, but I will give him credit for one thing. He's talking about the economy and that people are hurting, and I got Bert Brain talking about her husband's bobsledding.
Oh, God. Oh, Lordy.
And then, as you...
Look, I'm going to vote for McCain. I mean, I think I am, but I wish he'd come aboard and tell us that he'll not. At least he'll ban anchor babies. Wouldn't that be nice if he said that once?
Absolutely. And then he comes out at the end. Oh,
doesn't she remind you of a Gold Rush dance hall girl, though? If you were doing central casting, couldn't she play like a Gold Rush dance hall girl?
Absolutely. What do you think about people saying, "Oh, she's the next Ronald Reagan"? What?
How is that possible? How do they? How do they figure that one out? Can anyone explain that?
Not me.
I don't get that part of it. What's the connection between the two?
You got me. And then Mick Bonehead at the end. Wasn't she the right choice? And
I don't know. It looks like a grandfather with his granddaughter now on the stage. Well, there's one positive note about this ticket, and we can be sure of this, is that there'll be no sexual harassment in the White House. You know what I'm saying? At least, thank God, that's out of the question.
Michael, I thank you for being.
Well, if I have to lose my cynicism and sarcasm, I'm just not going to get on the air. I can't do this anymore. If they think I'm going to just be a goose stepper here with "You're a great American," I can't do that.
Yeah, I agree, and I thank you for being the one conservative on talk radio who's telling the truth about what this is, which is just a sham. It's a sham.
It's not a total sham. Let's say it's a partial sham. Let's settle on a partial sham. That's all. 1-800-449-8255. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. This is in Barbara Anderson's web commentary. Michael Savage reveals political cross-dressing. Did I say cross-dressing? Cross-dressing. How many pickles did Peter pick a pack? I never could do those ones. Peter Piper picked a pack of pickled peppers. I couldn't do. I was the kid who always bungled it up. Peter Piper picked a pack of pickled peppers. There, I just did it. She writes this: with reams being written about the choices for president and vice president, the most astute analysis comes from Michael Savage. Instead of swooning about the daring pick of Sarah Palin, Savage has methodically and with a cool eye noted the truth apparent before us. And it was about the cross-dressing. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. You know how I feel about it. I don't have to beat it up. But read it on michaelsavage.com. All right, can we move on, please? Stop hating me. You know, I wasn't going to come on the air today. I don't know if you know this. I said, I can't do this. I can't wait. I'll come back when the convention's over tomorrow. I was going to take the day off. We were going to do a best of. And then I decided I can't do it because you need me. Even if you don't agree with me, you need me here today. I figured you need me here. So bad eye and all, one eye Jack here is before the microphone. Horrible here in San Francisco. We got one of those inversion layers like heat wave, which is horrid. Horrid. It feels like Arizona. I'm sorry to even mention the state in a derogatory manner. You say Arizona now in a negative way, they could attack you for not being a loyal Republican. I remember when I was a kid living in New York and I used to dream about moving away. I would get Arizona highways. I used to dream about, you know, the Grand Canyon and the colorful mountains of Arizona. Thank God I didn't make that choice. No, God bless you if you live there. I don't like arid. I don't like aridity. I never liked it as an underarm deodorant, and I don't like it as a state. That's all. I like water, moisture, air. I'm a frustrated sea captain, I think. What if there is reincarnation? Here's the one thing about reincarnation that I don't understand. If there is reincarnation, why don't we remember it? And then what? And if you can't remember what you were before, what's the good of it? That's the one flaw in the whole reincarnation idea. In other words, you say, okay, I'm going to be good all my life because I don't want to come back as a worm. I want to come back as an angel, right? So you, like, unless you're an Islamo-fascist, then you blow up children in a pet market. That's how you get to heaven in that world of the psychos. But if you're like a decent person, you're guilt-ridden, fearful of God, and you say, okay, I'm going to lead a good life so that I don't come back as a worm. That's if you believe in reincarnation, I want to come back, whatever. But what's the good of it if you don't remember it? Unless, now here's the only way to figure this one out. Unless the worm actually has a higher consciousness than we do, and they remember it. What if the worm knows he was a lawyer in the last life? How do you like that? How would you know if the worm doesn't have a higher consciousness than you? Just because you can't find it on eBay? Or, excuse me, on Google, worm's consciousness? What if the worm knows it? Sometimes I think my dog knows that what he was. He knows he, like, lucked out. That dog doesn't know he lucked out with me as his boss. Lays on his back. I rub his belly. I feed him. He does everything he wants. Doesn't work. The hippie bum lays around my house, cared for like a prince. That's a reincarnation you could go for. Think about that one. No matter how many times he soils the rug, what, I'm going to get mad at him? I can't. Wow, did he luck out. I mean, he isn't a Michael Vick's dog, you know what I'm saying? Oh, my God. So, here we are. I feel better now. I actually feel that I bonded with you again. I couldn't bond with you for 3 days over the Sarah Palin thing. You were mad at me. You probably still are. But you see, I'm the only one telling you the truth. Here's an example. Peggy Noonan was an ex-Reagan speechwriter. So she writes a positive article about Palin in the Wall Street Journal, but she's picked up off camera saying that Palin was picked as a vice president for political BS of narratives. Did you hear what I just said to you? Many people are saying this behind the scenes, but they're going along with the program because otherwise they don't drink at the Cedar Bar with the Republican operatives. You understand there's no access? These are all the people who won't have anything to do with Michael Savage. They listen to this show because they know I'm like on the baseline reality for them. They understand they're getting one man's opinion, but it's a pretty good one. And they figure out what I say, like a lot of other people think the same way. Not because you are listening to me to give you an opinion, but I hit the nail on the head so many times with my audience over the last 15 years. Despite all of the things that have been thrown at me, I'm still here on the air. Thank you. So I must be doing something right. Despite the attacks, you understand, and the boycotts, and of this and of that, the people still love this show. And it's not why they love it, because they hear something that resonates in them. I repeat again what Hemingway said. He was one of the great writers. What did he write? He wrote that the truth has a certain ring to it, and we all know what that ring is. You can't define it. And that's the truth about this program. It doesn't mean you have to love me. You can disagree with me, but at least you're hearing a bell of truth ringing on the show. So again, going back to that story. Now, that's a very important story. Now, I don't know Peggy Noonan. I never met her. I have nothing for her or against her. She looks like a nice, dignified lady to me. But, and here's the big but, and you got to hear it. I'm sorry. If she's writing as a Republican operative positive articles about Palin and the choice of Palin for the Wall Street Journal, and then she's caught on an open mic trashing John McCain's choice of the Alaskan as his running mate, hello? So that's why on my website, michaelsavage.com, I took the article and I wrote, old speechwriter. I don't mean physically her old. I don't mean she's old. I mean she's an old speechwriter. Old speechwriter, meaning she used to write speeches. Old speechwriter Peggy Noonan exposed as phony, supports Palin and Prince, says otherwise on open mic. That's the way I read that story. So there you go. I make one friend at a time. You got to hand it to me. Each day I build a loyal following amongst Republicans and Democrats in the Savage Nation. One day at a time I build a loyal following amongst the apparatchiks. I'll be right back. Savage. Welcome back to the Republican National Convention up here in Yukon City. We're up here in a big, big dance hall. It's a very big dance hall. It's a diverse dance hall. We want everyone in our dance hall. Come one, come ye all, to the new Republican Convention. This is not your grandfather's Republican Party that stood for borders, language, and culture. Okay, thanks. Oh, this was made up on the spot. No one in the world would take this chance. Look, you win some and you lose some in talk radio. I'm running a couple of strikes, a couple of strikeouts this season. I got to tell you the truth. You know, I got to tell you something else. In my book, Psychological Nudity, I actually looked, and there are some political stories. And one really good one is this one. In the new autobiography, I wrote, "What if John McCain's middle name was Jesus? The medical reason why liberalism is a mental disorder. Republicans should treat voters like restaurant customers." Now, that's actually a very good story. Republicans should treat voters like restaurant customers. And what I was getting at was they basically are treating us as though we're old customers that they can count on. And I noticed that in restaurants that I keep going to, that I frequent, they ignore you. And they pay a lot of attention to newcomers. And the regular customer, they start to ignore. They figure you're going to always come back to their restaurant. Well, I'm really finicky. You know, if I get ignored in a restaurant that I've frequented for a number of years and the service and quality go down, I don't go back. They should pay more attention to the regulars rather than to the new person who walked through the door. Don't you think? And that's what's wrong with this whole situation. If Republicans treated voters like restaurant customers who have been loyal to them and serviced their regular customers instead of going out and reaching for new customers and forgetting the old, I think we'd have a much better country. Get it? That is in Psychological Nudity, which is why you have to buy the book, because nobody has it better than I do. Caroline, San Francisco, KNEW, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello. I have to tell you, Michael, I'm feeling totally alone on this Sarah Palin thing with my friends. I think I'm the only female that I know that is not excited about her. I'm almost sick of her already.
Well, let me ask you something. Do you mean females who are liberals are now going to vote for McCain?
No, I'm not a liberal.
Whoa, now you see what I'm getting at. Do you think she brought crossover voters who were independents to John McCain?
No, I don't think so.
That's what I'm worried about. That's what I'm worried about. They're gambling that they're going to get the crossover vote with her. I'm not so sure that's true. You think libs are suddenly going to vote for McCain because of her?
Well, they might get some of the female votes. In fact, a lot of my friends didn't even want Hillary in there, but they'll vote for McCain, and they were going to vote for
McCain. So then it was a wise choice then. So the Republican puppet masters did the right thing then. See? That's why they're politicians and I'm not.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The Republican National Convention here on the Savage Nation. We're up in Gold Rush, Alaska, the new home of the Big Tent. That's right. Everyone's welcome in the new Republican Party. Illegal, legal, gay, straight, all the same to the new Republicans. Borders, that's out with the window. Language, why? What any language you speak, you're all welcome in my saloon. Culture, we never heard of culture up here in Alaska. The only culture we have is hard drinking booze and hunting moose. We like drinking that booze and hunting that moose. That's a new culture of the Republican Party. We're throwing away our golf clubs and we're buying snowshoes. By Crickety, the country club, Viagra pubs have a new reason to live. They have a glint in their eye. Their last hurrah. Why our new choice? She's the equivalent of seeing the Virgin Mary in the knot of a tree. Or the Virgin Mary in a raindrop, or a pancake, or in puddles. Oh, Lordy. Okay, that's enough. I made my fun for the day, made another pack of enemies out there. because I'm not a true believer. What do you want from me? I can only be me. I can't become a cheerleader for a party. I'm not voting for Obama, okay? Well, let me take a caller first. Nancy in Bakersfield, California. You'll be the first up this hour on the Savage Nation. Welcome. How are you today, Nancy? What's on your mind?
God, you are the funniest man I've ever heard in my life. The whole
Thank God.
Country has fallen apart, and here you are, Michael Savage. I mean, you got the personality. That's what makes you. You're one of a kind. It's your personality.
Well, Nancy, do you understand that I need to have a sense of humor through all of this rubbish?
Yeah. Yeah, because I was driving down the street today, and I listened to you, and I pulled over to the side of the road because I've never laughed so hard in my life.
Okay, now, of course, I have to ask you, what struck you as funny in what I said today?
Huh?
What did I say that actually struck you as funny?
It's everything. It's that Indian music. It's the one about the worm. It's waiting for
you. Oh, yeah. Maybe the worm has a consciousness higher than ours. That is funny. That is pretty clever. I got to admit it. What I say by accident without a writer, they can't produce on the Jay Leno show with a team of writers. Nancy, you know what? Because you're such an intelligent woman that you actually hear what I say. How'd you like a complimentary copy of my new autobiography, Psychological Nudity? Would you like that?
I would love it.
Well, you stay on the line, Nancy. Give the guys your address, and you're gonna get the first couple of copies. Look, it's going to the printer. Its pub date is October 15th. You'll get it around November 1st. Everyone who's ordered it, November 1st. But, Nancy, you're getting a free copy of Psychological Nudity because at least you understand I have a sense of humor. That's all. That's all. Hope someone else does it. I'm sweating here. It's so hot. It is horrible here in California today, like a New York August day. I mean, I'm doing the show in underwear. I mean, well, I shouldn't say that. You imagine I'm in a radio station, you know, air conditioned. I don't like air conditioning because as a broadcaster, you get a sore throat. But if you don't have air conditioning, it's like a gas chamber in here. It's horrible. The people throw the old lunches in the basket. It's horrid. If you're a high-powered, you know, talk show host with your own studio and your own elevator, why, I guess you don't have to put up with it. But, hey, look, you want to be a regular person. That's the story here. What do you want to talk about on the Savage Day? Can we move on now? Does McCain speak shortly? What, about 7:30? When does he speak tonight, Beowulf? In about 20 minutes? He is going to speak while I'm on the air? No. Oh, no. Hours from now. I'm sorry. And some get the show replayed, so he's actually going to speak while I'm talking. It's confusing when you have a national show and it's replayed, parlayed. I saw an interesting story that really, Britain's maybe more vulnerable to AIDS due to Roman invasion. I said, well, I had to do a double take on this one. It says, Britons may be more vulnerable to AIDS due to the Roman invasion, new findings suggest. And that means that the Romans introduced a disease which killed off people with a variant gene that now protects against AIDS, HIV that is. Researchers found that people who live in lands conquered by the Roman army have less protection against HIV than those in countries they never reached. I'm not going to an Italian restaurant. That's it. That's the end of it. I'm through with the Italian restaurants. I know it's not related, but that's enough for me. 1-800-4498. I'm going strictly Chinese with a lipstick together. San Diego, Neil, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mr. Savage, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, Dr. Savage, in a fashion, I would say that Sarah Palin is not the issue. I think the real issue is what John McCain has accomplished. What he has done is he has produced one of the most significant political sleights of hand in years. He's completely diverted attention with regard to his positions to his proposed nominee. Rather than dealing with issues, rather than speaking to what he plans to do, he has pulled the rug right out from under the feet of your diehard conservatives, like myself, and denuded any conversation about what he in fact will do about the illegal aliens that are here.
Right. In other words, how come we're not hearing what she thinks about that? We understand she's a rock-rib, Thatcher-esque, Reagan-esque Republican. Good, wonderful. Where does she stand on illegal immigration?
Precisely. But that is beside the issue, because everybody ought to realize that the vice president, for all intents and purposes, and I mean this with goodwill to his nominee, the vice president does not create policy. The vice president does not lead the nation.
I understand. So, in other words, picking Palin was as much to silence the conservative base as it was to silence the liberal enemy.
Absolutely. He has done a tremendous feint of hand. And what bothers
That's pretty clever. So you got to hand it to the Republican puppet masters. They're smart.
They're very smart. And the sad thing is you have all these other so-called conservative radio talk show hosts who are just giddy over
I know. Well, that's the point. I don't understand this hysteria. I mean, I can understand saying, all right, she's a good choice. She's a little inexperienced. But what's the celebration here? Like, she's the salvation for the Western Hemisphere.
And she's not. It's John McCain is going to be elected president or not Sarah Palin. And another thing, Chris.
But do you agree with me in my sarcastic way that they're making her into the equivalent of seeing the Virgin Mary in the knot of a tree? You get that joke.
I get it, Dr. Savage, but sometimes to be truthful with you, your sarcasm is not understood by many that would listen to you otherwise.
I know that. And that's why the other talk show hosts who are saluting her are smarter than me, because they're basically insincere. They understand which way the wind blows, and they're going along with the weatherman.
Well, you know, you're correct, and I would say that rather than your attention be focused on her and the reaction that these loons in the so-called conservative talk show arena and how they're responding, go after McCain. Go after what you...
Well, it's not that I want... Listen, I don't want to go after McCain and have Obama win, but I want to go after McCain and make him say something about anchor babies. I want to go after him and have him say something about taxation. I want to go after him and have him say something about pork barrel spending. I want to go after him and have him say something about Iran. For God's sakes, I'm sick and tired of hearing about the dance hall girl.
Absolutely, and he said he would go to the gates of hell for Osama bin Laden. Well, what's our troop strength in Afghanistan? Not NATO strength, U.S. troop strength. To go into Pakistan.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Now we're hearing – that's an interesting point, and I don't want to get sidetracked because it's not the biggest issue, although it will become. Trust me, November 10th, this is going to be a big issue because I think that Osama bin Laden is waiting to strike right after this election. We both know that if the Islamofascists are in fact here with sleeper cells and they have the power to strike at any time, which we've been told repeatedly by the powers that be over and over again, that they certainly can't rule out being hit at any time. Why haven't they struck? The answer is because they do not want to elect John McCain, who'll be tougher on them. They want Obama to become president, who'll be easier on them. Don't you agree with that?
Well, having looked at these people for a period of time, because I do have an interest in politics, I would suggest that there is certainly truth to what you have shared, but I would also observe that these Islamofascists, these jihadists, have an entirely different mindset than the West does. They are extraordinarily patient, cunning individuals.
Yes, and tell me how they're looking upon this nomination. Tell me if they're afraid of Sarah Palin.
Absolutely not. They're
well,
not
they maybe they maybe they should be though. See, that's the interesting rub here. They're laughing at her because they're sexists through and through. They despise women. They treat them lower than camels. But at the end of the day, she might be tougher on them than the old man would. You follow me? She's liable to hunt them like a sick moose. I got to bounce along. Thanks for the call. You know what this is, don't you? It's the Savage Nation. You know what time it is? I'm not going to tell you because it's a different time in various zones of America. It's the Savage Nation. The website's michaelsavage.com. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I'll be back in a second.
Savage.
That I know you've all been waiting for, Psychological Nudity is the title. And here we are, 75 stories from Michael's colorful life history are contained in this limited first edition printing. And you can go to michaelsavage.com and you're going to see the picture of me holding Teddy, my dog. The classic stories I've told on the radio were translated for the written word. And I have to say translated for obvious reasons, because the spoken word and the written word are two different mediums. They're not the same. One Arm Frank, Love by the Sewer Plant, Dead Man's Pants, Savage's Childhood Diet, that's a prescription for a heart attack. Tippy the dog dies and is thrown into a garbage truck. When Pasta Was Spaghetti, From Immigrant Son to Radio Stardom, and many more favorites are in this book, 75, by the way. Are there political stories? A few. The medical reason why liberalism is a mental disorder. Debunking man-induced global warming. Republicans should treat voters like restaurant customers. Psychological nudity. It's a must for everyone who has read a Savage book. It's an original. Kindly go to michaelsavage.com, review the cover, click, and there it is, and I'll know how many you print. I was going to ask you something. Do you eat in chain restaurants, anybody? Does anyone eat in chain restaurants anymore? I did last night. I had it. I love it. They don't know me. There's all young people, very cheerful. The girls all have like little earrings, like 4 or 5 earrings on their lobe, which means they're nymphos. But they're not. You know what it is? There's something about young people in a chain restaurant who are so eager to please. Probably molested as a youth, but they serve well. You get the bread right away, the beer. I ate in that chain, that back out. I like it a lot, that Aussie chain. You know why? I'll tell you why I like it. A, no one knows me, which I love. The only thing I don't like is the lamp over the table. I feel like I'm in a 50s Dragnet movie. Like, where were you on the night of the fourth? You know, it blinds you. Who created that? I don't like a light in the top of my eye when I'm trying to eat. But if you order a 7-ounce steak, you get a 7-ounce steak. And where can you get a baked sweet potato anymore in a restaurant? They don't have them. And no butter, you get no butter. Broccoli, no butter, no butter. I liked it. I swill beer. I sit there. There was one table with a crying child. I only had to move twice. Look, you're in life. You're going to hear a child screaming. And I don't hate children. Don't get me wrong. I say to them, because the young kids don't understand. If you say to them, look, the kid's making noise, I'd like to move. They think you don't like kids. It's not like I don't like children. I say to them, look, I raise children. I love them, but I work very hard. When I come for dinner, I can't listen to them. Okay, I understand. Particularly the nymphos with the 4 earrings. They seem to understand that better than the boys. They don't even understand what I just said. The ones with the 4 or 5 little stud earrings in the lobe who clean up for the job during the day, it's a shame. Look what they have to do while they work before they go back to the porn that night. Well, they're cleaning up. I don't know why they're in there. But the point is, I don't mind a chain restaurant. That one I like of all the chains, the only one I really like. There's an Italian chain that isn't bad if you can control the cooks. Okay, I said enough on it. Now, I got to tell you something else. I went to a Thai restaurant for lunch. I'm going to tell you about a dog and a shrimp for a minute because of King Shrimp, Prawn, Thai Airlines. I'm thinking about a shrimp a lot lately. I figured if it's good enough for a child molester, I should try him again. Because I have a rough thing with shrimp. It's on and off with me and shrimp. You can't trust them in the summer particularly. And even in the winter, you know, the Jewish prohibitions against shrimp were not bad. The Muslims picked that up pretty good. They were smart. I don't think the Amish eat them either. Well, what do you get up there anyway in the Pennsylvania country except corn? Corn and wheat, things, wheat-based products. You can't get a shrimp up there. It's not a bad prohibition. Shrimp are iffy. They're a very iffy creature. I happen to like them. Now, Teddy, my dog, loves shrimp. He loves them if I cook them and I don't spice them, no nothing on them. Then I cool it off in a glass of water and I give it to him, loves it, knocks it down. Now, listen to what happened. This is an important story. It's a test. It's like the canary in the cave. I'm in the Thai restaurant for lunch. I'm itching now. I had to put a lotion on my forearms from the lunch, which is not a good sign. I got a little itch on both forearms, which is the first sign of something contaminated, some taint. And I take him. They let me sit on the outside deck, the dog. So I go there. That's one of the main reasons I go. I order the dish, the fisherman's dish. And I didn't like the smell of the seafood. It's presented nicely, but right away there was a slight off smell. You know, seafood, you can smell it immediately if you still have enough. And I do. I have great, great olfactory sense. But I eat it anyway. See, here's the thing about me. Why did I eat it anyway? Because, A, I paid for it. B, I was hungry. And C, I figured, all right, it wasn't that bad. And I don't have that much willpower to send it back, and I don't want to start in with the sending back number 3. Now, here's the trick. I eat all the shrimp, but he's looking. I said, Teddy, I can't feed you. I told you it's Thai food when we came here. And you knew it was too spicy, so he didn't even beg. But toward the end, he lost his composure and asked for something. And I couldn't resist because he was a good boy, slept under the table. So what did I do? I dipped the shrimp in water. Or whatever was on it came off. And I gave it to him. You know what he did? He wouldn't eat it. But here's the funny part. He rolled on it. I never saw him do this. He would not eat the shrimp. Rejected it, probably because it was tainted and tricked up by the Thais in that restaurant. And here's the strange part. He like mushed it on his head, all over his fur. So I reach down and say, what are you doing? Why are you rolling it? And he gives me a growl, like he doesn't know me, because I try to take his shrimp away. The only thing I could figure out is that the shrimp gave off like a scent of a dog, a woman dog, a girl dog. And he like fell in love with it. He was trying to make love to a shrimp on the ground. He only was mushing it up all over his head, his ears and his eyes, and it's all over his fur, and I try to game him. I don't like when they give you the white eye. When those little nice dogs, all of a sudden they give you a white eye, it can be frightening. They could rip your hand off. Normally he's a nice boy, doesn't So I said, what are you, crazy? I gave you the shrimp. Why are you growling at me? Look at the crazy eyes. So I mushed it aside. The fly ate it. It wasn't that bad. A fly ate it at least. I got to tell you, maybe if there's another chain restaurant I could eat in tonight, I'm going to go. No more of the, hey, Mike, how you doing? Pasta bada 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 dita bada boom, ba ba ba.
Savage.
Welcome back to the big new Republican saloon. Big old saloon. No longer the big tent, it's the big saloon now. The new party. New image for the party. I, Cracky, we're throwing away those golf clubs. We're going to get those old snowshoes. It's our last chance. The last chance saloon. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. I actually hope I'm wrong. I hope she surprises me. And I hope McCain act. Okay, turn it off already. They got the picture. Very funny. You know who's the most furious about this election? Are the old line country club women Republicans like Hutchinson, Noonan. They've been around forever. They feel like it was their turn to be vice president. The tea crumpets are furious at the Alaskan hussy. I didn't say an Alaskan husky. She does look like a Gold Rush dance hall girl. I mean, I'm not saying that in a derogatory manner. If you were casting a Gold Rush scene, it's amazing. That's why the old geezers, the last gasp Republican geezers in the party, the Bob Dole, the wing of the party. He really made me sick yesterday seeing him there in the crowd. War hero, I mean, God. He goes and works for the United Arab Emirates. I mean, I remember these things. Then they're marching around like some, what do they call it? A senior member of the party, you know, some distinguished member. I wonder if he was carrying around a UAE passport. You don't know what these people anymore. All of them, it's like the ick factor. Chinese pollutants drift across Pacific toward U.S. Yes, from the Tacoma News Tribune on my website. From 500 miles up in space, satellites track brown clouds of dust, soot, and other toxic pollutants from China as they stream across the Pacific, taking dead aim on the western U.S. Oh, I can't wait. That is just so politically correct to inhale pollutants from China. Maybe they could require us to inhale the pollutants to show that we're not racist. Maybe that'll come down from the powers that be. That anyone who doesn't go out and inhale the Chinese pollutants, and even hail the Chinese pollutants, the Asian pollution they're calling it. Ooh, Asian pollution. Ooh. Can you imagine that? We're getting dirt from China now? 10 billion pounds of airborne pollutants from Asia, ranging from soot to mercury to carbon dioxide to ozone, reach the United States annually. The problem is expected to worsen as some Chinese officials have warned that pollution in their country could quadruple in the next 15 years if not curbed. What I'm worrying about here is, concerned is that how come Al Gore hasn't said anything about Asian pollution? He made it sound like I was personally doing it with my old Cadillac. Who would have thought that it was coming from Asia? I thought they can't do anything wrong, according to the global dimming too, the reduction of sunlight. Oh, God, we're entering a new dark age in more ways than one. Play the dancehall music for a minute. I'm out of strength already. Did you know that Bush gave Georgia $1 billion in aid? $1 billion he gave the other night. She was dancing there in the saloon, and he gave away $1 billion. That's all. Turn it off. That's right out of Plato. Plato told us that we don't see the truth. All we see is shadows on the wall. See, I'm in a certain way. You can. Let me put it to you this way. What does the Bible say? It says that Eve ate the apple, and once she ate from the apple of knowledge, it was all over. You can't be peaceful once you eat of the apple of knowledge. You become a talk show host if you're lucky. That's the only thing left for you once you become an apple eater, from you eat from the apple of truth. But it doesn't guarantee you're going to make friends from it. Everyone is after you. Republicans, Democrats, this one, that one. Chicago, Illinois, Marty, welcome. You're up on the Savage Nation on WIND. What's on your mind?
You know what? I'm
I love your sense of humor. I do appreciate your sarcasm, but I'm getting a little tired of the politics. So last week, a week ago today, I'm listening to your show on the way back from Milwaukee, and you told the greatest story. You interrupted all this political baloney, and you told the story of Woodchuck Bill. And that story...
Oh, Woodchuck Bill. I read it from the new book. So you really would like to hear another story from Psychological Nudity. Just pick one out of the air. I'll tell it on the Natch. I don't have the book in front of me. I'll just tell the story without referring to the book. Which story do you want to hear from Psychological Nudity? I'll give you a couple of quick choices. One-Armed Frank. My Silent Brother. That's too sad. Fat Al's Tuna. Nutty Friend Had Crazy Mother. Coney Island Wax Figures. Dead Man's Pants. Oh, that appears twice in the list. Tippy the Mad Dog, Woodchuck Bill, Louie and His Crazed Monkey, Happy and Sad Cufflinks, Talking to a Bum About God. Any of those ring a bell?
You know, the great thing about Woodchuck Bill is in the end, we weren't happy, we weren't sad, we just were. It was. And it was simple and it was great. I grew up in a...
In other words, that's it. You mean the way the story ended? There was no conclusion.
It was fantastic. It was great. And, you know, I don't know if there's any conclusion to any of this political baloney that's going on right now.
Marty, that's the style I'm trying to master here in my book that I tried to master. It's actually an old style that has been rejected. Let me explain something. Most people want a story that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Unfortunately, life doesn't play out that way, as you well know. Sometimes there's just a beginning. Sometimes there's just a middle. And sometimes there's just an end in a story. Very often in real life, there's no neat, you know, beginning, middle, and end. And I think it's true with the Republicans and the Democrats. I think they're both more or less just going to give us the middles here. It's going to be more of the same.
Well, you know, I've been hot and cold for a long time on Dr. Savage, but last week you won me over, pal. You really did. I love
it. What were you mad at me for? What do you mean you were cold? What did I do that got you mad?
You talk about your... not your sense of humor, but your sarcasm. Sometimes it's really great. Other times it's just a little over the edge.
It is. I know it is. It is. Sarcasm can cut both ways, and sometimes it's too cutting. The trick is to be mildly sarcastic. But then if you're too mild in sarcasm, then you become a late-night talk show host on television.
You're a good guy. I love you, man. Keep up the great work.
Well, hold it. You got to tell me which story to tell you.
One-Armed Frank.
All right. You're going to get One-Armed Frank. Let me shut off the computer so I'm not blinded by the light. I'm going to remember the story now. Now, remember, this is not verbatim from the Psychological Nudity book. This is from the memory banks, okay? And you know it's a perfect story for the summer, for a hot day like today. Set the mood now. Hot day, New York City, kid in car with father, DeSoto, roof rack, green DeSoto, large, monstrous car, not made anymore. It's sort of like a Sylvania television on wheels. Monster, great car, super thick chrome, blah, blah. He used to, you know, move stuff from his store, so he needed a car that could carry blankets, ropes in the trunk, moving men stuff that no other kid's father had in the trunk. It was like odd, moving blankets. That in the summer, by the way, we took the moving blankets out and put on grass lawns near streams in the Catskill Mountains and sat on a picnic, which was double value to the moving blanket. So One-Armed Frank, this took place when I, Michael Savage, was a mere lad. I'm telling you the story now because no one's speaking. You wanted me to talk about Mitch McConnell at the Republican convention who looks like a combination puppet and puppeteer? He looks like Paul Winchell and Jerry Mahoney put together. This Mitch McConnell from the Republican Party has always struck me as a guy, if you gave him a straw hat and a cane, he could be outside a carnival himself. I'm not going to talk about it. We're waiting for McCain again. Great. I can't wait for the speech. Have I passed the loyalty oath? Can we go on now to the story? Hot day, DeSoto. Father's driving the car home. So in the car, normally there's nobody, no music. I wasn't allowed to play the radio. It was severe. It was strict. If you went to work with my father, God rest his soul, it was grim. It was like Grimm's fairy tales. He was a Russian immigrant. Life was horrible. Horrendous. There was no humor. No humor was allowed in the car. No music. Now, I'm a kid who wanted to listen to rock and roll. No radio. Who's it hurt, Dad? Never mind. No music. You're going to work now. I know I'm going to work, but can't we hear music on the way? No. No. Why not? I don't know why. In the old country, we didn't have music in the wagons. We don't have music. No music allowed. No levity. Get ready for work. Hard. Hush. No fun. This is not fun. It wasn't the 60s yet. where we were told by the communists that everything had to be fun. Look what happened with Everything Fun. Look what we got for the presidency under Clinton and then Bush. They had a lot of fun for 16 years. So, no music. Normally, we drive home alone. Again, Grimm's fairy tales over freeways and byways, and my mind is racing. I'm looking at every apartment trying to imagine every life going on in every rotten little life in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. What are they doing in there? My mind was so bored. I didn't know. I invented stories. Where do you think I got it from? I swear to God, I look at every apartment and imagine one life after another, and I could figure out entire life stories weren't real. How do I know if they're real? I didn't know who was in there. All I imagined was horrible, abject, black and white lives that ended with cancer and screaming and the mortuary. So, one night from the little antiques market, Dad gave someone a lift home, and the someone's name was One Arm Frank. Now, this was not derogatory. In those days, people were named so you could remember their name. If the guy had one arm, which he did, I don't even know how he lost it, the other arm was disappeared, and the jacket sewn into the pocket. So they didn't mock him and laugh, and here's One Arm Frank. Hey, One Arm Frank, how are you? He didn't take offense at it. In other words, if they say, here's Midget John, it was Midget John. It was easy to remember that way. No one was PC. So One Arm Frank came with us in the car. Nothing. He dressed nicely, neat little suit. And Dad was going to drop him somewhere, I don't know where, over the Kosciuszko Bridge, gave him a ride. Now, if I remember correctly, this was the winter. It was very cold in the car. That's right. It was cold, not hot. We're driving, and all of a sudden, One Arm Frank had a medical anomaly. Now, you've heard of pyorrhea, haven't you? You've heard of bad breath, haven't you? I'm talking about medically bad breath. I am talking about breath that would have to be analyzed by scientists at Walter Reed to understand the origin of this particular noxious fume. If you went over the Kosciuszko Bridge in Brooklyn in the summertime, there was a pork plant where they slaughtered pork. The stink was something you could smell for 20 miles around. You could puke. Your eyes went out. I think my migraine started on that bridge in the summer. That was nothing compared to One Arm Frank's halitosis. This guy would get in the car. I'd sit in the back. He was doing shotgun. We're riding in the car, freezing 10 degrees below. The windows are open, and I have a migraine headache. And they're looking on their feet. Did I step on something? Did we run over a skunk? Is it under the muffler? Nobody knew anything. That's it. I mean, that was the One Arm Frank story. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation, 50-some-odd minutes after the hour, the exact time, I don't know. It doesn't matter because we're in so many time zones. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. Any topic is fair game from, whatever you want to talk about. Palin, McCain, Obama, the other guy, whatever his name is, whoever, and forgot already, Biden. Whether this was cynical or it was wise, you know my position. I'm not going to say any more about it. I don't want to alienate those of you who are the true believers who don't even understand what I'm saying and you're mad at me simply because I'm not a lockstepper. But since when have I been a Republican lockstepper? Since when has that been my middle name? When have you heard me sitting and glorifying the Republican Party? As near as 3-6 months ago, conservatives were angry at the Republican Party. Guys like Vigory, the old fundraiser, they're terrible, they've abandoned Reagan, now all of a sudden he loves them. Why? Yeah, I'll let you figure out how all of a sudden so many people are singing the praises of the Republican Party. Where do you think that $40, $50 million a month goes? You think they don't buy people? You don't think give them contracts and this and that? Don't you understand how the system works? Now, I'm going to give you an example. Here is a YouTube piece from MSNBC that's very poor quality. And this is ex-Reagan speechwriter Peggy Noonan caught off camera saying Palin was picked for political BS reasons. And yet she wrote a column in the Wall Street Journal glorifying the pick of Palin and how proud she was of it. And it's bad sound in the beginning, and then it gets better. I want you to listen to how Republican operatives sound off camera.
I actually think Palin pick was insulting to Kay Bailey Hutchison,
So, okay, this morning.
Yeah, she's never looked comfortable.
They're all bummed out.
I mean, is she really the most qualified woman they could have seen?
The most qualified? No. I think they refer
for this, excuse me, political bull about narratives and
narrative
in the picture.
I totally
agree. Time Republicans do that, because that's not where they live and it's not what they're good at, and they blow it.
You know what's really the worst thing about it? The greatness of McCain is no cynicism, and it is
cynical. It's, and as you call it, gimmicky.
Now, this is interesting because they actually sound like real people. This is them off camera. They're saying exactly, basically, what we're saying. Here's Peggy Noonan saying, no, she was picked for the sake of political BS of narratives. And every time Republicans try to pick someone for the reason of a narrative, meaning a story, instead of politics, they blow it because that's not what they're good at. And then they say, another one is a Republican says, well, this is gimmicky. And they sound very real. And yet, when they go on air, suddenly they sound like tinny. Two-dimensional. Now you understand why I'm different than them and the troubles I have in the political arena, why I'm basically a pariah to both parties. Behind the scenes, they both sound like me, either agreeing or disagreeing. They think like me, I'm sure of it, and they probably listen to the show to find out what actual real people are thinking. I can guarantee it. Many, many, many of them are listening to this show right now, and they listen every day. Some like it, don't like it, but at least they are. All right, the guy, you know, sounds like my uncle or my father. I can't get mad at him. I may hate his politics, but you know what? I actually like the guy because he sounds like one of my relatives. That could be a Democrat. It could be a Republican. You get it? That's what I'm saying to you. So try to understand who I am and that I'm not a regular talker like you'd hear in the media. Let's go to the callers now. Kellen, Chico, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Okay, so... Actually, the way I see it, the pick of Palin was actually the smartest thing that they could have done, for the pure reason that the people who don't think and just do whatever, not people like you or I, win elections. That's plain and simple. People that.
All right. Well, I understand that. That's wonderful. So then after the Republicans win the election, as George Bush did in 2004, what's going to happen to America? That's the issue. Are they going to rule the country the way they've been ruling it for the last 8 years? More of the same, bigger government, and this time having to pay for the war through higher taxes? Are they going to grant amnesty to illegal aliens? Are they going to continue to extend the anchor babies? Or what are they going to do for the country or to the country?
Yeah, they're not going to do anything. More or less what we were joking about today when I was getting my hair cut is the fact that more or less they're probably just going to go ahead and say, hey, Mexico, we're going to annex you. You're going to become part of us. And that's just how it's going to be. That's what we're looking. That's what the country is based on.
Yeah, well, I'm worried that Mexico is liable to annex us. The way it looks to me with the gangs here, looks like they've already annexed us. Thanks for the call. Connecticut, Mike, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Dr. Savage, I'd like to talk to you about the shrimp that you talked about before.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more about it, because sometimes I eat this stuff, I'm fine. Other times I have trouble breathing. You know, I wake up in the middle of the night, I can't breathe. And
That's because there's toxic elements in some shrimp, or the preservatives they're using are causing the reaction. Maybe the pyrosulfates are causing the reaction you're getting.
Well, I never knew about this till I listened to your show, and I remember you talking about it a while ago.
It's the pyrosulfites that they're using, not sulfates. Pyrosulfites. It's basically sulfites they're using to preserve the shrimp that are causing this allergic reaction in you, and or amino acids in the shrimp themselves, and or toxins in the shrimp. Because remember, shrimp are being shellfish. They are sort of bottom feeders. And particularly if they come out of Asia, which most of them do in seabeds and farm-raised situations, I'm sad to tell you that most of these seabeds are not inspected at all, and they're laden with lead, antimony, mercury, and other heavy metals. So it's not a good choice anymore.
You know, probably, I mean, as far as Teddy rolling around on this thing, I mean, I don't want to sound gross, but my dog used to, when I'd walk him, he'd see a dead animal, he'd roll around on top of it.
I heard a dog person call me about why my dog rolled on a shrimp. I didn't know, I get it. I thought it reminded him of a girl's dog. I couldn't understand it. But then a dog person said it's something to do with dead things they roll. What do I know, dog behavior? I'm not the dog whisperer. But I think the dog whisperer is starting to look increasingly terrible to me. They gave him a new haircut. They gave him makeup. I liked Caesar when he was like, I was the first guy to have him on the radio years ago. Now he's like a movie star. They gave him a Hollywood haircut, Caesar Milan. He looks, you know what I mean? He looks too San Francisco for me. Let's put it to you that way. The gold chains are ready, the makeup. I could do without it. And it looks already to me like they're using actors and dogs that act. Like they bring out a dog who misbehaves. They all right, misbehave. Now Caesar goes, shh, with the hand. And the dog, I tried it with my dog. I try, shh. Teddy doesn't listen to me. I go with the same sound, shh. Doesn't work. No dog does that work for. I'm starting to think the whole thing is a fake job. Looking at me like the dog whisperer, starting to look to me like both Republican and Democrat parties together. Where they train the dog to be naughty and then they train it to act nice and they go shh with the makeup and the hairdo.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Hockey mom and signed up for the PTA. I love those hockey moms. You know, they say the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull? Lipstick.
I'm writers and critics who prophesize with your pen. And keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing.
The loser now will soon be the win. And the times, they certainly have a-changing, I'll tell you. Do I have to tell you the times they are a-changing? It's the Savage Nation. The times they are a-changing. Now, she's very charismatic. She has 9 weeks to win over the middle-of-the-road people. She probably will do it. It took Obama, a year and a half to go from the thinness of his inexperience to the charismatic speaker that he has emerged as. She's at only a week. So it could be she'll get McCain over the finish line. The question to us who are on that side of the aisle is, what is McCain going to do with the mantle of the presidency if he wins? Is he going to continue the same old, grant amnesty to the illegals, not end anchor babies, continue to spend like a drunken sailor and build bigger government, and then on top of it all have to tax us for the largesse of the government? Where does this end? If we give the Republicans a free pass again, what are we going to get but more of the same? Isn't that what we've been saying for a year now? Can't we demand something from McCain to say, okay, we'll go along with it if you grant us something? Grant us something. Say you'll deport the illegal aliens in prison, John. Start with that. The rest who are hardworking, you want to split the difference? Fine. How about the guys in prison? 30% of all prisoners are illegal aliens. You'll kick them out, John? Or do you like the fact that the prison guard unions have supported you, so you're not going to kick them out either? How about anchor babies, John McCain? Would you tell us, would you swear to us that you're going to eliminate the anchor baby provision that is being taken advantage of? That's why they're knocking out babies like Wonder Bread, Tasty Cake, Krispy Kreme donuts, so that every child can become a U.S. citizen and bring in the whole family, John? Don't you see what's going on? It's invasion by any other name, John. So don't you understand? I can't just jump along here because you're caught up with the balloons, man. That's why I'm trying to be as nice about it as I can. But, you know, I mean, I want him to win. The issue is, what are we going to get for it after it's all over? I know you're going to say, well, we're not going to get Obama. Oh, okay, great. Doesn't she look like a Gold Rush dance hall girl? I swear, this is because the old guys in the Country Club Viagra Republicans are throwing away their golf clubs, and they're rushing to buy snowshoes now, right here. They're like out of control with this. To them, she's the equivalent, and to the media people, like the false conservatives in the media, Sarah Palin is the equivalent of seeing the Virgin Mary in the knot of a tree, or in a raindrop, or in a puddle of water. That's not putting her down. That's what it looks like to me. Mass hysteria. I've read books on mass hysteria. Massachusetts, Jacob, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, you're the only talk show host that's ever caused me to spit orange soda all over my steering wheel in a fit of laughter when you came out with a Larry King impersonation out of left field one day. It was a disgusting, sticky mess all over the inside of my car.
Yeah, well, Larry King's very easy to do. The garlic man.
Yeah, well, you know, you have a very unique and special relationship with your audience, Michael, that even Rush Limbaugh can't match. You can make us angry without driving us away. You can change your mind without losing face, and that is a testament to what you've accomplished. And
Nice to say, and I hope that that is true, because right now I am being hammered by people who don't understand what I am saying. They're angry at me. They say, oh, you're going to help make Obama win. That's not the point of my, let us say, constructive criticism here. My point is quite different. What is McCain going to give us if he does become president? Is he going to do anything for the base that must elect him? What will that be, Jacob? Is there anything wrong with my asking that?
He's going to do nothing. But, you know, there's some beneficial accidents that we can at least hope for, and I think that Sarah might be one. You know, at least...
That's very interesting the way you put it. You're a pragmatist and a realist, and you don't expect anything out of a politician or a political party, nor an election year. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you so happy because I'm sending you a free copy of Psychological Nudity. That's only if you say you want it. Do you want it, Jacob?
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Well, stay on the line. Give the guys your address because the first book off the press will be October 15th, and I'll send it to you. You'll get it by around November 1st, perfect in time for the holidays. And that's it, Psychological Nudity. That's why, you know, I took a – you want to talk about a gamble? I'm not going to talk about the book for a minute. I took a gamble by writing a non-political book in the most political time of the year. It's a gamble, I admit it. You probably would have liked me to write a book on why Obama is the devil and why McCain is the angel. I could have done it and sold more books. That's all. Salem, Oregon, Sarshad, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
This is Farshad. I came to the United States about 2.5 years ago. And I just want to share something very good with you. I have 18 friends back in Iran, and they're all listening to your show, and they all love your show. And unfortunately, 2 of those are friends, they're serving jail time, and one of those...
Oh, God. What, under the Hitler? Hitler put them in jail?
Yes, Ahmadinejad's regime. And
so how do they listen to the Savage Nation in Iran?
That's through the internet connection, and we send the transcript encrypted back to Iran. And
you're telling me Hitler lets them go on the internet?
Sometimes you can bypass the internet, yes, with the proxy servers. And they, somehow they find a way to bypass the filters.
But the Iranian people had advanced so far. They were one of the most ancient civilizations, as you well know. And then they're being taken back into the Stone Age day by day by these mullahs and this psychopathic maniac. How in the world does the world not understand the danger he poses both to the Iranian people and to the free world? How could the world not see this?
I don't know. This is a problem because they are not living in Iran. And I have a friend, one of our friends, a rabbi, and 3 years ago just disappeared. And 2 months ago we found out he's in jail. And the other one is a journalist, and he disappeared 2 years ago. We're still looking for him. I don't know where is he.
Well, I pray to God that when McCain becomes president, he does what has to be done to save not only the Iranian people, but the world from World War III.
Thank you. Just one more
thing. Thank you. Yes.
Savage, I want to share one more thing. I came here, as I said, 2.5 years ago. When, on the Northwest, when I'm talking to people here, they seem like hate America. And I'm so frustrated. I don't know what's going on here.
What did you just say? What do you mean? Who says you hate America?
When I'm talking to younger generation here and liberal people, this, they're always talking about the other country's interests.
Oh, when you talk to the younger people that you meet in college, they all hate their own country. You don't know how that happened. Well, I'll explain it in a nutshell. In the 1960s, we had a communist revolution in America. It was called the hippie 60s. Really, it was run by the Communist Party USA. It was a worldwide communist conspiracy. And Barack Hussein Obama is the end product of that line of thought. Bill Clinton was along that arc. The entire left wing of the Democrat Party, which is what they have become, is frankly soft communism. And they hate this country, even though they say they love it, and they like to convert it into an image that represents the ex-Soviet Union. It will not happen. That's what's at stake in this election, by the way. That's my opinion. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to the callers. You're entitled to call anytime. McCain's not speaking, so who are you going to listen to now? Who's up there? I can't even look at him. My eye hurts. Who's speaking, Beowulf? Who? Bill Frist? Bill Frisked? Bill Frisked the American people. Where is he these days? What a name. You know, I think that name, Bill Frist, is the mark of a dyslexic bureaucrat somewhere along. I'm sure the man's name was Bill First. And they probably had some geek down there where he comes from in the old days. And when the old man, like the grandfather Frist, came along, they said, what's his name? My name is Mr. First. And the guy just switched the letters around. They named him Bill Frist. He could still straighten that out, can't he? It's not too late. He's done very well, though, even with a name like that, when you think about it. Bakersfield, California. Heidi, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I love the show. I just wanted to call and tell you that I so much appreciate your comments since last weekend. I feel the same as you. I'm a lifelong Republican. You can tell Kern County, California, my entire family. I have three sisters and a mother. We're furious with this pick. It wouldn't have been so bad to have somebody that's basically just like Obama on the bottom of the ticket if McCain wasn't so out of touch anymore. I feel like he's past his prime. When you have Lieberman going babysitting him everywhere abroad, having to correct his language, correct the enemies, I just feel like I'm going to vote. I'm going to put Romney on my vote. I'm not going to vote for this ticket because
Yes, but look, here's the problem, Heidi. Let's clear our heads here. If you put Romney in, it's a throwaway vote. It's a vote for Obama. That is the real problem.
It's the principle. Last time we were bullied into not a Republican, that man has spent as much or more than anybody before. Since he's been in office, my husband's a law enforcement officer. Our health insurance has gone up double. Food, gas, you name it. What hasn't gone up? House prices where I live have gone up, I'm not exaggerating, 300% in 8 years.
Well, there's fiscal conservatism for you, right? I mean, sarcastically. Bush is a fiscal socialist. This week, while they were cheering Miss Palin, he gave away $1 billion to the country called Georgia. Without anybody voting on it, he gave away another $1 billion. That's on top of $48 billion to Africa. Where is this money coming from? Every time he does that, it debases the value of our currency. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to give you a consolation prize, Heidi. It's called Psychological Nudity, Savage Radio Stories. Would you stay on the line? Would you like that as a free gift?
And, Michael, let me tell you, my father's in Iraq right now. He's a Vietnam vet. It's his second time over there. And when I found you was when we were going to see him off at the beginning of the Iraq War back in 2003, driving to Fort Bliss from California. You were a godsend to my mother. Your show stabilized our family under a very strenuous situation, and I thank you for that.
Well, let me send your family a gift. Stay on the line. I'll send you a book of radio stories just out, and I'll be right back.
Savage.
What does John McCain need to say tonight to get you to vote for him? I know you're all excited that he's not Obama. I know you're all excited that he's not a Democrat. But what does he need to say to get your attention where you say, all right, I'll take a shot at it. I'll go out and vote for him. Because I'm not sure that the base is that excited. I think that elements of the base, i.e. the evangelical base, and even at that, when you say the evangelical base, I know evangelical people. I work with them. They're the finest people I've ever met in my life. I want to make that very clear. And I'm going to make that so clear that you're not confused about it. But there's a difference between people who are evangelical Christians, the common people, the real people, and the leadership of various pressure groups that are, in essence, glorified lobbyists. So I know the glorified lobbyists are in love with this ticket because the bone was thrown at them. Okay? But are the people? I don't really know. I just finished my book, Psychological Nudity, and this is a very interesting story. I had to go to Nashville, Tennessee via internet to find a copy editor, to find a typesetter, to find a proofreader. And these are the finest people I ever worked with in my life. I had no idea that they were evangelical Christians until I worked with them. They won't charge me for a minute more than they work. It's all on the honor system. The billing was so, remarkably reasonable. I was stunned by it compared to the ripoff artists here in California, most of whom think they're movie stars and that you owe them a living. And what I'm saying is these are wonderful people. They're as honest can be. But are they going to go for the McCain ticket? I don't know. I really don't know what they're going to do. So if you are an evangelical Christian, what do you say? You're the base that they say has been electrified. You're the base that they say is on board. You're the base that they say doesn't need anything more from the ticket. You've got it all through John McCain and the narrative of the dance hall girl. Pardon me. I keep saying that because part of my mind is like filmic. And if I were casting a Gold Rush dance hall girl, it would be her. That's nothing wrong with that. I've always liked dance hall girls. And there's no derogatory statement in that. That's why we've been playing the saloon sound. Can you play the saloon sound for the listeners on the Savage Nation? The entire political arena has become a giant charade of horse you know what. And to hear the Republican tent is a big tent. It's a saloon now. It's a gigantic Gold Rush saloon. And the old geezers are there throwing away the golf clubs, rushing into snowshoes now. Can you believe this? They're like going berserk for this situation here. Maybe I'm missing something. It could be. Let's go to the callers. 1-800-449-8255. Michigan, Mark, you're on the Savage Nation. Your opinion, please go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking with her speech, Palin's speech, that, I was laughing actually quite a bit, and I found it quite witty. And but, thinking about it, she's really as great as what everyone's saying, and it seems like she really is. It kind of saddens me that she's compromising and supporting McCain, because if she's really as solid on the issues that we keep hearing about, that she's a Reagan conservative and that she's the new generation of Republicans, then why is she so gung-ho about McCain and not sticking to her guns?
Well, because in order to get ahead in this world, you've got to compromise. It's true for all of us.
True, I guess. Yeah, but, I'm thinking that...
We're not children. Maybe if we live with her, we'll learn to love her, and then maybe in 4 years she'll run for the presidency and she'll win by a large majority because she's so wonderful. How do we know?
Quite possibly. She sounds like she'd be great to have coffee with, her and her husband, but...
Now you got me. Now I'm already... the husband I can do without, the snowshoe winner. Or whatever he does. Why did I have to know that much about her family? Can you explain that to me? It's one thing to have the firecracker from Alaska. Did I really want to meet all of these people from Alaska like I never met them? All of a sudden now they're America's favorite group, this extended family. Why did I have to know all this about them? Why? I'm not interested in them. How come we were not regaled with Obama's family, by the way? Why were the Democrats smart enough to hide his family? Can you think about that one?
Oh, yeah.
His grandmother's still alive, I believe, or some of the people who raised them are alive. They could have gotten the brother out of Kenya from the bamboo hut and brought him in, couldn't they? Why didn't they bring him in? They were smarter, that's why. So there are headlines out there. If you look at Drudge, Biden says we'll prosecute Bush for crimes after the election. Wow. I guess he's trying to charge up his base. The lunatics outside, the Red Brigades. Dow is down 3%. Stocks have plunged. Why? There's an interesting question. Why? Is that about the announcement? Rudy Giuliani, I don't even want to comment on. I think it was his last hurrah, frankly. I think that's why he wouldn't stop talking. He just wouldn't shut up. 5 minutes would have been plenty. 10 would have been okay. This guy went on for 25 minutes. He didn't understand he wasn't running for anything. It's over. Reverend Jesse Jackson hospitalized for stomach pains. I wonder what that's about. Why stomach pains? Because he's like left out? It's a lifetime of being in the front, spotlight. That's about the headlines over there. Nothing else. Again, another storm that isn't going to be. Remember last weekend, the idiots? Gustav. Now, why was it Gustav? Why'd they come up with a Russian name all of a sudden? Gustav's not a Russian name. It's a German name, isn't it? How'd they come up with Gustav? Oh, they used to be women's names. That's right. Then it was considered... Wait a minute. Hold it. There's something wrong here. When storms were named for women, it was considered sexist because it was too violent. But now Sarah Palin, even though she's like a moose hunter and she's like Annie Oakley, that's good now? I don't know. Something doesn't make sense. That's why I call it political cross-dressing, the whole thing. It's very hard for people to follow all of this, truthfully. I got to tell you. Yeah, I know. You want me to vote for McCain no matter what. Yay, team. Yay, team. Well, there have been real losers in this whole thing. Winners, losers. The real losers are the columnists who got caught off mic putting down Palin while on air they supported her. That's it. Finished. Finito. No more Cedar Bar. It's over. No more invitations into the inner circle. They'll live the life I've been leading all my life. You better get used to it, to Siberia. You know, Siberia is not so bad when you're in it. I've been in Siberia all my life. You get used to it after a while. What do I mean, Siberia? It used to be a place in New York, a horrible place. The worst food, the worst drink, the snottiest poseurs in the city, Elaine's. Big deal, Woody Allen went there. So every Schmendrick from Brooklyn and Queens who comes through the tunnel, and they want to hang around the bar, pay $12 for a glass of rotten wine, and maybe they can go over and see Woody Allen. Great. So if she didn't like you, she put you in the back room, which was called Siberia. That's well-known in restaurants. I've been living in political Siberia, even though I have this huge show. I'm untouchable to the Republicans. They want nothing to do with me. They all listen to me to see which way the wind blows in the base, but they make believe I don't exist. Many people who I've invited on the show, they wouldn't go on your show. Guess what? They got nowhere to go now because they've been shown to be what they are, which is frauds. Frauds. They think like I do, but they won't write like I do. They think like I do, but they won't speak like I do. You understand that? That's all. What do you want to talk about? How about the fact that T. Boone Pickens has the best idea I've ever seen? His ads are great. He wants us to switch over to natural gas. He's in the natural gas business. But he said giving all this money to the Saudis in particular is the greatest wealth redistribution in the history of the world. And it's going on right now. And the terrifying part about that is that the Saudis are not benign. They're not benevolent. They're malevolent. You know, that's something you should remember. All the money going to those wonderful, peaceful folks in the Middle East sitting on all that oil is going to our potential enemy. They're undermining this country from within. They're building madrasas that teach and preach hatred. Make no mistake about it, they own 19% of a certain large conservative network. And don't think it's not having an effect upon the yakkers who work for that network. Make no mistake about it. So, there it is. New York City, WOR, Lewis, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
You know, Michael, you're right on point, I have to tell you, because the consolidation of wealth that is happening in this country, if it continues, it's going to consolidate the political and the social structure to the point that we're going to equal the template of what actually created Soviet Russia. Most of the billionaires that live in the Kremlin are very, very wealthy, and these corporations think that wealth means anything in an authoritarian government. They don't understand that wealth is meaningless when people could take it away from you with just a gesture.
Well, I understand that, but I certainly don't want to see money taken away from wealthy people to give to the poor through higher taxation. That's also a criminal act as far as I'm concerned. Why should my money, which I earn, be taxed two or three times? Think about it. I've struggled all my life. I worked for minimum wage jobs. I don't want to go back and cry on your shoulder. I was derailed every step of the way in my life by social engineers who try to throw me in onto the trash heap of history. So now that I've achieved a certain degree of comfort, I should give it away? I'm already paying 50-some-odd percent of every dollar I earn to the federal, state, and local governments. How much more should I pay? And at what point will taxation become so high, listen to me, that I say I'm not even going to work anymore, it isn't worth it? Or at what point will taxation become so high, Lewis, that an investor will say, I'm not going to risk everything I have on a new business because it isn't worth it to me, the taxes are too high, and then the economy implodes? That's the problem with the other side of it, Lewis.
From that will stop that disparity. It's widening so much that even until...
Lewis, let me ask you something. Are you able to hear me or not? Did you hear what I said, or we are on a disconnect?
The momentum will get going with...
Lewis, can you hear me? Lewis, can you hear me?
Yes.
Did you hear what I said about taxation?
Yes.
So didn't you hear what I said, that at a certain point when taxes reach a high enough point, they become a disincentive to entrepreneurs and to high-end earners?
But what I think is going to override that, these fanatical people that want a theocracy because they want a benevolent leader, they're throwing away democracy for security and benevolence and their whole concept. You know, Hitler protected the people by protecting the religion. As long as people have religion, they feel safe.
Wait a minute. Where are you coming up with this? Hitler was not a practicing Catholic. Hitler was a pagan.
In government. You let them do what they
want. Wait, again, you're not hearing me. You're saying Hitler was a religious man. He was not. He was a pagan. Hitler was a pagan. Hitler hated religion. Hitler attacked the Jews, but he also arrested Catholics. Are you aware of that?
Stop him.
I guess you're not hearing me. I'm going to have... Something's wrong with the connection here. Guys, are we getting a real-time connection here or not? Okay, well, I don't know whether he didn't want to hear me or he wasn't hearing me. So we'll go on to the next caller. What do you want McCain to do to get your vote? Is there something McCain needs to say tonight during his speech that will have you... electrified, where you say, yes, I'm going to vote for him now. Well, what else do you want to talk about? New York City, WOR. Eddie, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Mike, you made me roll over, and I almost had a car accident. Last night I looked at it, and I said, who does she look like? And I thought about it. I'm 65 in October. She looks like Kitty from Gunsmoke. If you took the dress and you put it on her, she looked like Kitty from Gunsmoke.
So tonight when I played the dancehall music, it struck a note?
It hit me so hard, I almost went off the road and crashed.
Well, all right, we can make fun. She's a politician. Why must we suddenly turn her into the Virgin Mary now?
Well, the big thing is I'm praying that it works out because there's no other course. You know, everybody's talking about...
I understand that. We all are. We all are. But at this point, that doesn't mean she's suddenly immune to the political process, does it?
Well, no. And basically speaking, if she's following somebody else, I'd rather have a person that's got their mind. Like, your mind is so unbelievably open to the right things, and the right things come into it. When somebody's a blockhead and following somebody's footsteps, I don't like that, because basically speaking, there's nothing new. It's the same old, same old. I don't care what party or what person, it's the same old, same old. And if anything has to happen, something's got to be done that's new to turn around this country. It really is that important.
Well, but the Republicans are saying she's that something new. She is that something new who's going to turn around the country. But then again, we're not voting for her. We're voting for the top of the ticket, who is McCain. And it's McCain versus Obama. And there are fundamental differences between the two of them. And the number one difference between the two to me is that McCain is a patriot. I cannot say I believe that about Obama. And I think you'd have to agree with me on that.
I agree with you, but remember one thing. People can make other people change and do things the right way, and maybe he needs a good, strong woman to straighten his act out.
Well, maybe she will be the one to say to him, you know what, you better be stronger on this or that. I'd love to hear what she thinks about illegal immigration. I'd rather hear about that than the fact that that her husband's a champion snowshoer or whatever.
Very true.
You know, I'm sick and tired of hearing about what flavor ice cream she likes, what her favorite color is, what her favorite flower is. I'd really like to know what she thinks about an expanded federal government.
Exactly.
About illegal immigration. Where does she stand on affirmative action?
Well, I think you'll probably find that out afterwards when they get elected, but right now...
Thank you very much. I think so, yeah, and I know which way the wind blows. But thanks for the Miss Kitty thing. 1-800-449-8255, phone number, michaelsavage.com. There are other stories all over the website, which you can call, take a look and order it. I mean, call about the stories. Detroit, Larry, you're up on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Hi, Michael. Yeah, you nailed it on the last segment about what McCain's going to do. He's going to spit in our face once he gets in, you know, so he got going more conservative. But it's like saying we're going to get the top of the ticket, not the more conservative,
party. I think we're going to get a Democrat in Republican clothing. We're going to get a rhino. That's what I'm afraid of. And I think it's going to be instant amnesty, instant gay rights, instant affirmative action, instant big government, instant tax raises, and say, hallelujah, it's not Obama.
you got it right, because he says he don't want to torture terrorists, but he's been torturing me with this amnesty for, like, the last 5 years. I can't sleep, you know?
Well, I don't know which way that's going to go, but I'll tell you this. Would you sleep better at night with McCain in the White House, who is a known factor, ex-military, former fighter pilot, all true, or with Obama, a man whose claim to fame is having put up posters on telephone poles in Chicago?
That's almost like a false choice. I mean, because they're both going down the same road. I mean, he voted for Ginsburg, for God, you know.
Well, are they going down the same road? On the Second Amendment, we know that Obama's a gun grabber. We know it from the get-go. He'd appoint a Supreme Court justice who would vote to take away our Second Amendment rights. Do you think McCain would do that? That's an issue I doubt that he'd. I'm positive McCain wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but then he votes for someone like Ginsburg that crashes my confidence. How could I trust the man? He spit in my...
You mean when Ruth Bader Ginsburg came to the Senate from the ACLU, he voted for her?
Yes.
So did so many of the other rhinos. I know that. Worries me deeply. In that regard, Bush is more conservative than McCain.
And that's the only, yeah, and Bush is no conservative. We know he's a rhino liberal, and I'm worried McCain is going to give this money to Africa and be spending us into oblivion.
God only knows, but that's what makes for politics. It is 46 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. I'll be right back. Savage. Let's start from the basics. I'm a radio talk show host. I have very strong opinions. Nancy Pelosi wants to put me out of business. She wants to pass the so-called fairness doctrine, which is unconstitutional. Does McCain want to? No. I believe he's on record saying he's totally opposed to the fairness doctrine. Second Amendment, right to bear arms. Does Pelosi want to take away your right to bear arms? Yes. Does Obama want to take away your right to bear arms? Of course, he's a far-left radical liberal. That's part of their platform. Would McCain take away the Second Amendment, overturning the Supreme Court vote by replacing one or two in his term super libs? I don't think McCain would do that. As a former military man, I think he understands and respects the right to bear arms. And this is something that both conservatives and liberals want. I don't think you understand this, but liberals... The real liberals, even the more radical ones, want the right to bear arms. There are entire brigades of gay people who want the right to bear arms because they're afraid of the general population. They want the Second Amendment upheld. Obama would not uphold the Second Amendment, and I think they'd work to undermine it. So there are some, you know, you talk about issues. Well, what's really important? And there's some really big issues that are really important, especially in this gang-ridden city that I live in, this gang-ridden world that America is becoming. That's one of the main problems. And you have to ask yourself about the real big issues. Taxation, big issue. Affirmative action, big issue. Growing government, big issue. These are all big issues. Where do they stand? Let's go to the callers. James in Indiana, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. I'm an evangelical Christian, and I've been voting Republican since I was 18, and I'm not voting for McCain until he makes some kind of promise that he's going to veto big government socialist bills and some promise that he's going to appoint conservative justices. He said neither of those things.
Okay, I hear you on that. 1-800-449-8255. Guys, give me a one-minute break right here. I have a very – my eye is killing me. Just put something in here. I can hardly see right now. Just – that I know you've all been waiting for, Psychological Nudity is the title. And here we are, 75 stories from Michael's colorful life history are contained in this limited first edition printing. And you can go to michaelsavage.com and you're going to see the picture of me holding Teddy, my dog. The classic stories I've told on the radio were translated for the written word. And I have to say translated for obvious reasons, because the spoken word and the written word are two different mediums. They're not the same. One Arm Frank, Love by the Sewer Plant, Dead Man's Pants, Savage's Childhood Diet, that's a prescription for a heart attack. Tippy the dog dies and is thrown into a garbage truck. When Pasta Was Spaghetti, From Immigrant Son to Radio Stardom, and many more favorites are in this book, 75, by the way. Are there political stories? A few. The medical reason why liberalism is a mental disorder. Debunking man-induced global warming. Republicans should treat voters like restaurant customers. Psychological nudity. It's a must for everyone who has read a Savage book. It's an original. Kindly go to michaelsavage.com, review the cover, click, and there it is, and I'll know how many you print. Well, I had to do that just now because I told you I was in the emergency room 3 weeks ago. I'm laughing because I'm fine. And it wasn't tragic, but I had to get a CAT scan. I have one eye that's operational, one that's bad. Other people would have taken 3 weeks off from radio, 4 weeks. I made a commitment I'd have to be here during the Democrat convention for you, then the Republican convention for you. Truthfully, I can see out of one eye. The other eye is killing me. I can't stare into a computer. I'm not complaining to you. I'm trying to tell you that this job, this profession, this thing that I do called talk radio is my love for you. It's my commitment to my audience. You got to hear me on that. I could do best ofs. I could get a fill-in. And, in fact, I may have to do that next week after this is all over and take a good rest because I'm about as wound out as a man could possibly be. I think I'm having, frankly, some shock here from this political season. It's been the longest, hardest run in radio I have ever been through. The last time I felt this worn out from radio was when I had to talk about Bill Clinton bombing Serbia, an innocent nation with the biggest propaganda story in the history of America, about how they were the evil ones, the other side were the good ones. And the propaganda during the bombing of Serbia was the most overwhelming pressure I've ever been on in radio, 80 days of it. Do you know, and I'm going to come back to the politics of today in a minute, do you know that Bill Clinton bombed and destroyed every bridge over the Danube River? Now, why do I say it to you? Because you did not see one photograph, you cannot find one photograph in the media of one bridge being bombed. That's how big the propaganda is in the world today. If you think there's really a gigantic freedom out there, I think you're wrong. I think the government media complex is so overwhelmingly all-powerful that we're living in that brave new world that we were promised and taught to fear so many years ago by Orwell. And I believe that it's all a sham, frankly. And I believe at the end of the day, it's two-card Monte and there's no P under either shell. That's the sad truth. I don't see a P under either shell. There are fragments of differences between the two parties. Point blank, I have to vote for McCain. I have no choice. That's exactly the way they calculated it. But you and I both know what we're going to get, and that's the frightening part about it. Now, of course, at the convention right now, let's hear the dancing music. I guess they're back to the nothing more comedic than Republicans getting down at a convention, I got to tell you. All right, it's a convention. It'll be over soon. I don't know why they have them. These conventions are holdovers to the 19th century, before there were telephones, when delegates got together with planks. Did you hear one plank being argued over? No! No, it's the first time in history that neither party argued over one plank. It's all a sham, both parties. Have a nice night. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be absolutely nowhere. Be here or be Savage. Nowhere.